Governing all. This morning's reading is from Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 17. Jesus heals a man with leprosy. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." The faith of the centurion. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came up to him, asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you, that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. Jesus heals many. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with this fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Right, good morning. Please do keep that open there in front of you. Just a word about where we're heading for the next couple of months. We're going to be spending most of our time up until Christmas in the Gospel of Matthew. Last year we worked through Matthew up to this point, and we're going to be doing the next section over the coming months. But there will be a bit of a break in 2 weeks' time. We're going to begin a series with Renew Anglican. This is something we've done over the last few years, where we actually share a sermon series. The pastor there, Steve, and I will write some sermons together, and we'll actually preach them at both churches. And we might even try and get a time to get the two churches together as well. But it's just a wonderful way to celebrate and share with other Christians in other spaces that still share the same Lord and the same gospel, and a great, great fellowship. So please do pray for that as well. So let's pray as we come to Matthew's gospel. Father, as we jump into this account of Jesus' life, we pray most of all that we would see him. You'd open our eyes to who he is. You'd help us to see what he is like. I pray that you would fill our hearts with grace this morning, that you'd help us to see his compassion, and help us to put our faith in him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think if someone had told you in August 2019, a few years ago, that you were going to spend months of your life locked down in your home, working from home, schooling from home due to a global pandemic, I think in August 2019, most of us probably would have found that a little bit hard to believe. But of course, we've all lived through it now. And I think the coronavirus I mean, as you know, as it's played out over the last few years, the coronavirus has caused millions of deaths. It's caused global disruption to supply chains and travel and all sorts. And I'm very thankful for the speed which vaccines were available. It was quite remarkable how quickly the world gained access to these vaccines. It allowed us to return almost to normality by and large. And I'm also really thankful for the modern technology that we have that allowed us to weather this pandemic and still stay connected. I want to say good morning to those on the live stream this morning. It's nice to have you with us. But I'm really struck by what the pandemic has shown us about the effects of illness. I think for most of us pre-pandemic, illness was kind of a foreign thing. Some of us had suffered deeply, some of us it was kind of an unknown. But we think about the effects of illness. I'm not talking about symptoms, sore throats and fevers. We know what that's about. But I mean the effect that illness has on us as people. I think in ways most of us hadn't experienced before, sickness brought this invisible sense of dread and fear and risk, danger that we hadn't experienced before. It meant physical isolation from people. We had to cut ourselves off from people, and that isolation meant we were cut off from relationship and blessing and comfort. We had to stay away from our friends, keep a distance from our neighbours. Those occasions that we celebrate, like weddings and funerals, either had to be cancelled or had to be restricted. We couldn't celebrate or grieve together in ways that we used to. I was talking to someone recently. He's married to a nurse, and we know that our health workers had massive challenges during the pandemic. But the most heartbreaking thing for this woman, on top of all the other stuff, the most heartbreaking thing was that she struggled to show care and compassion that for her were intrinsic to her calling, intrinsic to why she did what she did. There were barriers in place for everyone's protections, gloves and face masks and face shields, and it kept her patients at a cold clinical distance. As someone who loved and wanted to care for people physically, she wanted to extend care and touch and warmth and compassion, and yet she was engaging with her patients through this little window. This was all she had to show her compassion and her care. It was incredibly difficult to demonstrate empathy and care when she could only reach out with her eyes. And I think it shows us that sickness, illness, it's not just a physical problem like a mechanical fault in a car. You take your car to the mechanic, he patches it up, it works good as new, problem solved. Illness is not like that. It's not just about repairing bodies. It has a social and emotional and relational aspects, and they affect us deeply. In this passage today, we're picking up where we left off in Matthew last year. Jesus just has finished his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. That's where we left off. You can go back and read his Sermon on the Mount in chapters 5 to 7. And Jesus comes down from the mountain, and the first thing that happens is Matthew describes three episodes of Jesus' powerful healing ministry. So today we are looking at Jesus the healer. And I want to mention that at the end of this sermon, we're going to be praying for healing for anyone who needs it. We're going to do that at the end. Let's get into the first episode, verse 1 to 4. Have a look there at verse 1 to 4. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy, and then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." In the ancient world, leprosy was an awful, disfiguring, and most importantly, fatal illness. It didn't have a cure. The body would lose its sense of feeling, and victims would eventually lose digits, lose limbs, lose facial features. There was no cure in the ancient world. Lepers would be isolated away from society, put into leper colonies, or cut off from everyone else so they wouldn't infect anybody else, and they lived in those colonies until they died. Everywhere a leper went, they had to call ahead, "Unclean, to let people know they were coming so people could stay away. There's an unclean person coming, stay away. Now, we don't know how long this man has suffered from leprosy. We don't know how long he'd had this disease, but he'd been cut off from his community, both physically and socially. It also cut him off from participating in worship. In the ancient world, you worship by going to the temple. He could not go to the temple and worship with everybody else. This exchange shows Jesus' tender compassion. The man believes Jesus can heal him. He's not in doubt about Jesus' ability, but he isn't sure that Jesus would be willing. Everyone else in his life has had to recoil from him, drive him away. Even those people who loved him most closely, dearly, they still had to leave him, recoil from him, and drive him away. And yet Jesus gives cleansing here, freely, fully, willingly. He isn't aloof, isn't standoffish, isn't dishing out his favors grudgingly. Not Jesus. No, he is willing to show compassion, willing to give the cleansing that is required. Jesus sees the need and is more than willing. And did you see it? Did you see it? You probably weren't shocked. It's how different things are for us. You probably weren't shocked. You might not have even noticed, actually. A reader in the ancient world, they would be stunned, not just at the power of the healing, that was remarkable, but the detail that would have made their hair stand on end, the detail that would have made their jaw hit the floor. Did you catch it? Jesus reached out and touched this man. How long had it been since someone had touched him? How long since he could even feel a sense of touch? And it's clear in the chapter that Jesus didn't need to. Did you notice that? In the next two episodes, Jesus is able to heal with just a word from a distance. He can heal from a distance, but for this man, he reaches out and he touches him, cleanses him with a touch. It's beautiful. In verse 4, the man sent to the priest to check that he is indeed healed. He's instructed to offer the appropriate sacrifices. If you go back and read Leviticus chapter 14, there's a whole bunch of, it makes for funny reading for us, but there's a whole bunch of prescriptions about skin diseases and what to do when you have them and how a priest could check that you've been cleansed and the sacrifices that you offered when you had been cleansed from a skin disease. Why does Jesus do it? Why does Jesus say, don't tell anyone, go and offer the sacrifices, go to the priests? Well, firstly, it is a testimony to the priests. Can you imagine when the man came in? They know that leprosy is an incurable disease, and yet this man who has had leprosy walks in, and he is indeed healed. They would be flabbergasted to see this man healed. They would be stunned by Jesus' power to heal. It was a testimony that Jesus was sent by God. But it was more than that. Jesus is also restoring this man to the worship of the community. He's been cut off from the temple, cut off from the people, cut off from the community. But now the priests can say, yes, this man is clean. He is healed. He is once again able to join us in offering a sacrifice of praise. This is far more than physical healing. This is a restoration of a life of worship in community. He is restoring this man to life and restoring him to worship. He's acting as a priest. What did a priest do? A priest was to stand between God and people and minister as a mediator, administering the grace of God to the people and administering, facilitating the worship of the people to God. Jesus here is the ultimate priest. He brings cleansing and compassion and enables the worship of this man. And I love Jesus' care for this man. He cares for him body and soul. He cares about his place in community. This is wholehearted, holistic, compassionate care for this man in every way. This side of Jesus, this aspect of Jesus has always inspired the church to compassion, inspired care for people, care both body and soul. And you might know one of our commitments as a church. Here we give 10% of our income away to mission projects around the world. 10% of the income we receive, we give away. One of the projects that we've supported for the last few years is Galmi Hospital in Niger. This is from their website. Since 1950, the SIM Galmi Hospital has been an oasis in the desert. Located on the south edge of the Sahara Desert in Niger, West Africa, this 180-bed hospital provides compassionate care to Nigerians from all walks of life and serves as a training centre for surgical residents from several African countries. Our outpatient clinics serve up to 300 men, women and children daily. Now, Niger is one of the most poverty-stricken countries in the world, one of the poorest countries in the world. And Galmi Hospital, they offer medical care in incredibly trying circumstances with incredibly limited resources. And I love that they demonstrate Jesus' love physically and emotionally and spiritually. This is their purpose statement. This is their purpose as a hospital. The purpose of the SIM Galmi Hospital is to glorify the name of Jesus Christ by demonstrating the love of God through physical and spiritual healing, proclaiming the gospel and making disciples. In Jesus' name, they offer compassionate care. And as followers of Jesus, we learn to see people with compassionate care, physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, because that's what we see in Jesus. That's what we see in our Lord. Our compassionate priest who cares for us, body and soul. I hope that as you see Jesus, as you see his compassion and his graciousness and his kindness, that you too can grow in compassion, grow in graciousness, grow in kindness. But Jesus is more than just a priest. Let's look at the next encounter. Look at verse 5 to 9. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, he goes, and this one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." You can see the conclusion in verse 13 when Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would," and his servant was healed at that moment. We can see Jesus' power to heal. Simply say the word and it is done. If the leper shows us the priestly compassion of Jesus, the centurion shows us his royal authority. Listen to this quote. Quote, "A military man recognizes authority when he sees it. The centurion has both superiors and inferiors in the military hierarchy. He both receives and issues orders, and orders are expected to be obeyed. He sees no reason why physical disability should resist Jesus' authority any more than his own subordinates resist his. His is the no-nonsense faith of a practical man." I like that. No-nonsense faith. Now, I'm not going to spend too much time here because we're actually going to see Jesus' authority on display again next week. But the centurion has faith that Jesus has authority over everything, authority over sickness, over illness, over the material, natural world. The fact that Jesus has command over the material world, it points us to the fact that he is the king of creation. He is the creator. It is his creator, his creation, and he has authority over it. In our house at home, we have a collection of foreign coins. You know, you just kind of randomly pick up foreign coins from around the place. And pretty much all of those coins have the head of some sovereign on the back, some king or some queen or some ruler. It's got their kind of face on it. It has value in their realm. In effect, the coin's like a little token of that king or that queen or that ruler's authority. And you can tell that because if you go to some other country, some other realm, and you try and spend the coin, you find out it's not actually worth anything. It's no good here. That ruler doesn't have authority here. Their coin's no good. Well, Jesus is the creator and the king of all creation. His authority extends everywhere. Obviously, the centurion saw in Jesus someone with royal authority over creation. And we've got to think about that for a minute. You might not have noticed it, but man, this is a weird story. Put it into the context. The Roman Empire had subjugated the Jewish people. They were a subjugated people under the Roman Empire. The legions were the shock troops that enforced that rule. They were there to squash any uprising and make sure that no one doubted that Rome was in charge here. Now, can you imagine how strange it would be for this Roman commander to regard himself as being unworthy of a Jewish teacher? The Roman centurion would be much more likely just to collar a Jewish citizen and order them to do what he wants them to do. They're the ones with authority here. I don't know how this guy arrived at the conclusion that he was unworthy to have Jesus enter his house. I don't know how he got there, but he regarded Jesus as having authority that went beyond the royal rule of Rome and it went beyond the military power of the legions. He's recognizing that Jesus is the king of creation. And it's striking that Jesus is willing to go to his house. Jews, if they could help it, did not enter the houses of Gentiles. But Jesus is willing to cross the ethnic and religious and cultural barriers to heal this man. The centurion's response of faith amazes Jesus. What Jesus says next cuts against everything that the original hearers would have thought about God and about religion and about God's kingdom. Have a look at verse 10. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and he said to those following, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west, will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Jesus is making one point here, that it is faith, not family, not culture, not ethnicity. It is faith that matters in the kingdom of God. His image of a feast in the kingdom of heaven, it places it squarely in the promises that God had made to the Jews. The Jewish patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, are seated there at the feast. And yet, Jesus is saying that there's Gentiles that come from the east and the west, and they come in and they take their place at the feast. Yet the subjects of the kingdom, those who were born Jewish and inherited the promises of God, they find themselves out in the cold. Jesus shifts the whole basis of religion and he makes it about faith in him. Someone said, belonging to the kingdom of heaven is found to depend not on ancestry, but on faith. And it's specifically faith in Jesus. This Gentile soldier recognizes something about Jesus that many people at the time missed. He is the king who has authority over all creation. And King Jesus takes this moment to teach us about his kingdom. He says it is open to people of every tribe and every tongue and every nation. The kingdom is wide open to anyone, no matter what background you come from. But it is only open for those who've put their faith in Jesus and recognize that he is their king. It is open to everyone, but it is only open to those who put their faith in Jesus. We've talked about Jesus as the great priest. I want to pause to ask if you've put your faith in Jesus. Have you put your faith in him? What do I mean by that? I mean to have faith like the centurion. He recognized who Jesus was. He recognized that Jesus had authority over everything and over everyone, and he put his trust in him. He came under the authority of Jesus. To have faith in Jesus is to recognize he is our king. We come under his authority. This is the only way to be part of Jesus' kingdom. We've talked about Jesus as priest. We've talked about Jesus as king. We've talked about him as the king of the creation. Next, we see Jesus fulfilling the promises of the prophets. Look at verse 14. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her as she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. This final episode, it's quite different to the others. We don't hear the requests of those who are seeking healing. We don't hear Jesus' comments about the situation. But we do get to see multiple people that receive healing. We don't get to see exactly what they're suffering from. It's just we know that many sick are healed. We get to see this personal, intimate healing in the home, this small domestic setting with one lady. Jesus heals her. It's personal. But in the next verse, there's this public ministry. There's crowds that are gathered. They're all bringing everyone who's sick, and Jesus is healing them. In the previous episodes, we get to overhear Jesus' interactions. In this last episode, Matthew is the one who fills in the meaning by pointing us to the words in Isaiah, Isaiah 53, verse 4. Now, this is interesting. Isaiah 53 is one of the most famous passages in Isaiah, one of the most famous passages in the Bible. In fact, I don't know if you remember, but when we celebrated communion a few weeks ago, we read Isaiah 53 as we were celebrating communion. It speaks of a suffering servant who suffers and dies for the sins of his people. And when we think about Old Testament promises, Old Testament promises that point us to the suffering and death of Jesus, Isaiah 53, it's like top of the list. But here, Matthew picks it up. He picks up that passage to speak about Jesus' healing ministry. The suffering servant takes up our pain, bears our suffering, and brings us healing. Matthew sees in the ministry of Jesus the fulfillment of these prophetic promises. God's kingdom that was promised has come in Jesus. And with that kingdom comes healing and restoration and relief from suffering. The healing miracles that you see in Jesus' ministry, they are signs, foretastes of the kingdom of God. A breaking in of a new age when sickness will be a thing of the past. It is God making good on the promises that he made through the prophets that this new kingdom, this new age is coming and has come in Jesus. Jesus has been shown to be our priest, he's been shown to be our king, and now he takes up the mantle of the prophet, fulfilling the promises of prophecy in this healing ministry. If Jesus' kingly authority points us back to his power in creation, and if his priestly ministry brings his grace and his compassion into the present, this prophetic ministry points us forward to the future, the coming kingdom when sickness and death will be a thing of the past. This inbreaking of what will be. When you see someone healed, it's a small taste of a heavenly future, an inbreaking of what will be, a foretaste of the glory and the restoration that is yet to come. For those who clung to the promises of Isaiah, it was a sign that their Messiah had come. And for those of us who are still longing for the appearing of Jesus, it points us to what will be when he returns. But even though our ultimate hope is for a future where there is no sickness, is no sorrow, is no death, we still pray for healing now. I can't tell you why some prayers for healing are answered, why some prayers for healing are not, but we pray. I do know that all will be made when Jesus returns. All will be made well when Jesus returns. But we still pray for healing now. So in a moment, I want to give us an opportunity to do that. We're going to ask Jesus to bring healing for anyone who's sick, anyone who needs healing. And then I will pray to finish. So I say we aren't going to make a spectacle or embarrass anyone as we do this. We're doing ministry. We're not putting on a show. But in a minute, I'm going to ask everyone just to close their eyes as we pray. My eyes are going to be closed as well. Please respect people's privacy in this. But we're praying together. And as I pray, if you want to ask Jesus for healing, you just raise your hand and ask for Jesus to heal. You may be at home on the live stream today. possibly because you're sick and not well and you need healing too. We're joining with us in that prayer. You're included in that prayer, and you can do that as well. And I just want to say too, as we pray, you might want to call people to mind that you know that are sick and need healing. You can take this opportunity to pray for them as well. So do you please close your eyes with me as we pray to Jesus, our healer. You can raise your hand if you'd like healing. Jesus, we know that you are the compassionate and gracious healer. We've seen your tender compassion and mercy as you reached out to touch the leper. Jesus, we know that you are the authority of King over all creation, that everything comes under your authority, even sickness, even sorrow, even the material world. And we know that you are the promised Messiah, the one who ushers in the new kingdom. And in all of this, we acknowledge you. And we pray that you would bring healing for those who are sick, those who have things that have just come upon them, and those who have suffered for years with chronic illness and pain, for those with medical conditions that have an easy answer, and for those for whom we know something is wrong but we don't know what. We pray that you would heal. In your name and in your grace and in your compassion, would you please heal? And Father, I pray too that we would grow in the compassion and the care of Jesus. As we see what he is like, would you help us to grow in the compassion and the grace that we see in our Lord Jesus? Help us to have faith in him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.